Welcome back to the Natural Allergy Treatment Podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and at Health and Wellness Australia and New Zealand, our naturopaths specialise in a natural allergy treatment called Positive Association Technique, or PAT. So fibre is really trending at the moment, and all over social media, people are talking about fibre maxing, poop maxing, and eating 30 plus plant foods a week. But for those of us who are more sensitive, maxing anything right from the get-go can get a little risky. And we also have a lot of PAT clients who come to see us as they are stuck on elimination diets due to food sensitivities to things like FODMAPs, as well as naturally occurring food chemicals like salicylates and amines. So I've got our Canberra naturopath and PAT practitioner Fiona back on the podcast today to talk us through this 30 plant foods a week trend and how to approach adding variety to your diet intentionally and avoiding issues for us sensitive folk. So thanks again for joining me here today, Fiona.
You're welcome, Jess. I'm excited to be here.
So to start us off, where did this 30 plant foods a week trend originate from?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Back in 2018, a project called the American Gut Project analysed thousands of stool samples, so 15,000 stool samples, and they matched it up to the diets of the people providing those stool samples. So we had this really great database of information about how diets influencing the microbiome. So analysing these stool samples, they found that people eating 30 plus plant foods a week had the more diverse microbiome, and they had more specific beneficial bacteria. And these bacteria make good levels of short chain fatty acids for us. Now, the thing about short chain fatty acids is they are produced when our microbes eat our fiber, so the fermentation of that fiber produces them, and they have a whole host of benefits for us. So they support anti-inflammatory pathways, they help with metabolic health, so especially fat metabolism, and they may help with insulin resistance. They help prevent colon cancer, which is really important in Australia. We unfortunately have high levels of bowel cancer. And how they do this, they encourage or support the growth and differentiation of our colon cells. So if we are in a precancerous state, we might have cells losing this differentiation. So different cells doing different things, they start to all look the same. And so these short chain fatty acids help to minimize that happening. And they create this nice acidic environment for us in the colon. So that acidic environment will inhibit the growth of pathogenic bacteria and will also encourage the growth of our beneficial bacteria. And as a nice little extra, short chain fatty acids like butyrate can actually provide energy for those colon cells. And butyrate will also encourage the formation of tight cell junctions. So that's really important for keeping our gut barrier nice and intact, and that in turn will help support a healthy immune system. So I've ranted on there, but there's a whole host of benefits of those short chain fatty acids.
So the benefits really go beyond just increasing our fiber intake with these foods, then?
Yes, 100%. So if we have that nice varied diet, so lots of different types of fibers and lots of different types of plants rich in different plant chemicals called polyphenols, they are really sort of nourishing our microbiome. So they're creating that diversity. I like to think of the microbiome as a bit of a rainforest. So you've got all different sorts of plants. And what do we need to keep our plants healthy? We need water, we need soil, and we need sunshine. So I like to think of the soil as that soluble fiber that becomes gel-like. So we find it in foods like chia seeds, flax seeds, oat bran, even apples, the pectin. And this type of fiber slows down digestion for us and nutrient absorption, which can be a good thing. And it's nice that it's got time to bind to things like cholesterol, so important for that cholesterol management. And then if we're thinking of that rainforest analogy and we think about water, I associate this with our insoluble fibre. So that's the fibre that keeps things moving through the digestive tract, and it bulks up our stool. And it's kind of like a broom, so it helps to sweep things through. If you think about a fast-flowing river, it's sweeping things through that way. And these types of foods would be wheat bran, our vegetables and whole grains. And then we need our sunshine. And I liken our sunshine to our polyphenols, so those nice chemicals in our food. And they're found in high amounts in brightly coloured foods, so like the sunshine. And here you can think about foods like pomegranate or matcha, the green tea, and even cacao, berries, all of those sorts of lovely foods. Basically just eating the rainbow. Now, polyphenols, with their antioxidant action, have quite a host of benefits for us as well. So they are good at mopping up damage done by free radicals. Now, free radicals are normal. They occur as a byproduct of some of our metabolic processes, like when our cells use oxygen to make energy. And we can get them through external sources, so exposure to cigarette smoke or chemicals, for example. So polyphenols are protecting our cells from this free radical damage. And as such, they're also protective for us for things like heart disease and cancer. Polyphenols also have a moderating effect on our microbiome. So they have this ability to help suppress the growth of that pathogenic bacteria and promote the beneficial again. And basically just all around antioxidant, anti-inflammatory and prebiotic actions. Now, if we have this higher microbiome diversity, as mentioned, can impact on things like type 2 diabetes. Also helps to manage healthy cholesterol for us. So people with this good diversity have higher levels of HDL, the beneficial type of cholesterol, and lower levels of LDL cholesterol. So we don't want too much of that one. And other studies have found that a general diet higher in fruit and veg has been found to lower levels of weight gain and lower levels of perceived stress. So all of these things are important for our mental health as well. And again, it's just good for general digestive health and immune system health.
I really love your rainforest analogy. I haven't heard that one before. So, and how you've tied it into that motor migrating complex with how it gets things moving through the digestive system. So it sounds like there are actually some decent grounds to this trend, which isn't always the case when it comes to social media. So this week in preparation for this episode, I tracked the plant foods I had in a week, but there are guidelines when it comes to serving sizes and processed plant foods, aren't there?
Yeah, so this is something that's it's based on self-assessment, right? So people are just kind of tracking the foods themselves, and it's hard to know how do I track that and what counts and what doesn't. So if I'm having a little sprinkle of basil on my tomato salad, does that basil actually count, or is it enough to make a difference? So the basic guidelines are that we just need to be eating plant-based foods. So it has to be grown. You can't, I wouldn't count something that has been heavily processed. So for example, if I was eating a soy-based protein bar that had, you know, a long list of colors, flavors, and, you know, things added to it, even though it's got the soy in it, probably not going to be great for that microbiome. So I wouldn't be counting that. So it's real food, if you like. So not heavily processed, real food, minimize additives. But let's talk about amount. So we can use any plant-based food like fruit, veggies, nuts, seeds, your beans, your legumes, even olive oil, herbal tea, and coffee. Yay, counts. and herbs and spices, all of those sorts of things. But if I'm sprinkling again that basil on, it's not a massive amount. So we would allocate a quarter of a point to things like that. So that cup of herbal tea, yes, it would count, but I would give it a quarter of a point. When we're talking about oils, olive oil is a fantastic oil to be using, and I would just class that as a quarter. But if I'm having, you know, some brown rice with my stir fry, I'd be counting the brown rice, and then I'd be counting the veggies that I've had in that stir fry. So if you've got a really good stir fry going, you could get quite a lot of points. And we can't count that food more than once. So we're looking at 30 plant foods over the week. If I've had carrot on Monday and I have carrot again on Tuesday, I can't count that as two. But if I have orange carrot on Monday and purple carrot on Tuesday, I can count that as two because I've got a different polyphenol profile with those different colours, if that makes Yeah, so and I like to emphasize that it's about consistency and it's not about perfection. So these things really make a difference to our health if we just keep at them. So I might have a week where I have 25 plant foods, and then I might have a week where I have 30 or 31, and it's not about, oh my God, I didn't hit that 30 that week. It's like, wow, I got 25. So I've had a good week and I'm consistently doing this.
Your guidelines are really helpful and that makes a lot of sense. And I like that idea of the quartering system. So then we can add on those things like a sprinkle of basil on your food. And so when I added up my weekly intake using your system, I came in at 25. So I still have a bit of work to do to get closer up to 30. And for someone who's starting at a lower point, what are your recommendations for increasing these foods intentionally and sustainably?
Yeah. And I just want to say, wow, on your 25 plant food point. Yeah, so if you're at 10 plant foods a week, I do not want you to go to 30 plant foods the next week, especially if you have any sort of digestive issues happening. So a safer way to do it, or more comfortable way to do it, would be to actually count what you're getting. So that first week I've counted 10, and then next week I'm going to aim for 15, and I'm going to do that for a couple of weeks. I'm going to sit at 15 for a couple of weeks, and then after those couple of weeks, if everything is ticking along well, I'm going to go for 20 the week after that. So it's a gradual increase. And I also liked your point about doing things sustainably. So that's quite topical at the moment for good reason. And with meal prepping, a great way to be sustainable because you've bought and used everything that you've had. So it's not about buying 20 different fruits that sit in the fruit bowl and you don't eat them. Little tricks around that would be to maybe have a bag of frozen dragon fruit pulp in the freezer, and you can throw that in a couple of times a week, or different blends of nuts and seeds. So instead of just putting a sprinkle of chia seeds on your brekkie, you might actually have a mix with a whole heap of them.
And how do you go about navigating this process for clients who have digestive issues or find that they struggle with high fiber foods? For example, something like lentils, which is a pretty classic gas-producing food.
Yeah, and we see a lot of clients who come in for a PAT treatment and they're down to a really limited list of food because that's their safe food that they can tolerate. So this can be a really big issue for people. So there's a couple of things to understand around what might be happening with this. So if we've had a very limited diet, we have potentially got a smaller diversity of microbes. So if I've avoided legumes my whole life, so no lentils for me because you know, I don't like them, or perhaps I did react to them initially and I've kept them out, they're rich in a particular fiber called GOS, for example, and so I might not have many microbes that enjoy eating that type of fiber in my microbiome because I've been avoiding it. And so when we start adding lentils in, we might actually experience some discomfort because it's taking our body longer to digest that type of fiber, or we just really don't have enough microbes to kind of get stuck into that fiber. So part of this process is really going low and slow. And so what we're actually doing is encouraging the growth of those microbes that will enjoy eating that fiber. And this is why the varied diet really supports that diverse microbiome. Some of the other things that you can do, so low and slow, rule number one, is smaller amounts less frequently. So if you do eat some lentils, for example, and you find that you've got a bit of bloating, next time you try it, so give your body a break of a few days or a week, then try it again and maybe try a smaller amount. So it might just be that the amount was too big the first time and you can tolerate them, but just at a smaller amount initially. If you're doing your beans and legumes at home, a really good idea is to soak them well before boiling them and then cook them for a long time. So it's helping to, make that fiber nice and digestible. And you might even find that tinned beans and tinned lentils are better tolerated initially, and that's totally fine. So how do we know? So minor and temporary discomfort is going to be okay, and it should settle fairly quickly. So don't give up that first lentil salad and you sort of, have a little bit of discomfort.
So slow and steady is the way to go, and gently pushing through these mild symptoms while our microbiome adjusts is really good to know, as I think, like you said, that deters a lot of people as they can mistake this adjustment period symptoms for a food sensitivity or intolerance. But what are the actual signs and symptoms for you that someone might have a food sensitivity or an underlying gut issue instead and need to get some extra support before adding in more plant foods into their diet?
Yeah, so if those symptoms are frequent and ongoing and they don't shift, so if we've started off low and slow, we might expect a little bit of discomfort, but it will shift. If that's not happening, maybe we need to dig deeper. There are other symptoms like any sort of real pain. So there's a difference between pain and discomfort. Or if you're having, severe diarrhea or loose stools, ongoing constipation, offensive stools or offensive flatulence, and that excessive bloating. So if someone's bloated all day, every day, that's not normal. And a reflux can also be another sign. So any of these types of symptoms might be hinting at SIBO, so small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or just general dysbiosis happening in the gut. And we might need to look after this first before we start increasing our fiber. And practitioner guidance is really helpful here. We see a lot of PAT clients around salicylate and amine intolerance. And these are natural chemicals found in different types of plants, but they can cause real issues for people. So we can have symptoms like headaches, skin rashes, nausea, vomiting even, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, irritability, sleep disturbance. So quite a long list of things that can be going on. And these are found in plant food. So if we do have this sensitivity and then suddenly we're, increasing our plant foods, you can run into trouble with that. So that would also be, if you've got those sorts of things going on, it's worth having a PAT appointment because your practitioner can test you and see which foods might be the problem, and then we can offer some treatment.
So to give a couple of examples when it comes to salicylates and amines, you mentioned earlier those polyphenols, the really colourful, bright foods. They are often very high in salicylates, so things like strawberries, tomatoes, and they're often concentrated just under the skin of a fruit. So some people will peel an apple, for an example, to reduce the salicylate load. And when it comes to amines, we're looking at things like that need to ripen happen before you can eat them. So banana, avocado, as well as any sort of fermented foods are going to be high in that too. So for anyone listening along for the first time, I'll give you a quick run through of what's involved in our positive association technique sessions. We have naturopaths all over Australia and New Zealand, like Fiona here. And what we do is a form of muscle testing or kinesiology to assess your reactions to a whole range of different foods, like these salicylates and amines we've mentioned, plus a bunch more. And we do an acupressure-based treatment down the back to help retrain your body to no longer have that intense reaction to the substance and to help improve tolerance and start increasing these variety of foods. So just to start wrap things up today for this episode, Fiona, what are some of your final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners before they embark on a 30 plant food week journey?
Yeah, so I mean, this excites me, this whole approach to food, because it's encouraging people to eat a varied diet. It's fun, it's easy. I don't have to plan, you know, every single ounce of my macros or, you know, avoid whole food groups. I can just eat like a normal person, which is a nice change, isn't it? So it's focusing on inclusion and not restriction. And I think it's just that, it's just an invitation to eat well, you know, eat a nice variety, have lots of flavor. And it also caters to all sorts of dietary styles. So if you're vegan, this will work for you. If you love your meat, this will work for you because you have your meat and you just have your plant foods on the side. So I think it's for everyone.
I agree. And I think my key takeaways from this episode is that we should be able to tolerate and feel good eating 30 plant foods a week, as long as we take a gentle approach at first. But if you come across issues such as digestive symptoms or symptoms that go beyond the digestive symptom system and start affecting our skin and such, it's just a clue that there may be something else going on that needs some attention. So to learn more about positive association technique and see if it's right for you, you can visit our website, naturalallergytreatment.com.au, and you can also visit Fiona's website on the wodenwellness.com.au website, where she practices from her clinic in Canberra and also provides naturopathic consultations online. And Fiona, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your advice. I think it's going to be super helpful for people as they embark on this journey. And thank you to those listening as well. If you enjoyed this episode, you can follow our channel, the Natural Allergy Treatment Podcast, for past and future episodes. And you can also join me as I work towards increasing my plant foods to up over 30 over the next few weeks over on our Instagram page, which is at natural.allergy.treatment. And I look forward to next time, Fiona.
Thanks, Jess. Me too.